Last week we talked about God breaking through reality in the form of light. And the symbol that John the Baptist used to describe God's transcendent presence made personal, human, and real on the earth in the form of Jesus Christ. So this week's scripture out of Luke, we see light open up into the dream vision with real people, a real Madonna, not Madonna that sings songs, but the real Mother of God is called Madonna, and a real baby and a realized miracle. The impossible had become possible. The dream had been a reality. And today, most of us don't believe in dreams. We kind of push them aside and decide, as Scrooge did in that old age tale of the Christmas Carol, that our dreams must be stuffed in a undercooked piece of beef or a fanciful dream that fades in the light of the day. I don't have to wait till the light of the day. I can't remember what I dreamed. I've been having crazy dreams that nothing sticks. But as a Christian, we are rooted in dreams. And the root and kernel of our faith is belief in miracles, the miracle birth of Christ Jesus. God's dream for humanity realized in the birth of Christ on that long, long ago Christmas night. So today we challenge each other as we go to know the true truth and the real purpose of Christmas, to dispense with our logic and all that tells us about miracles don't happen, and that only what you see is here, there, and enter into the realm of faith, that God initiated a place of visions and dream where anything can happen and probably will, because nothing is impossible with God. So this Christmas season, we have a different kind of miracle too on the horizons with the approval of these vaccines to help us get through this COVID thing, and we thank God for that. But as Christians, we are here to tell each other in the world to believe in impossible dreams. This is the truth of the gospel. I think the greatest thing about Christmas morning is the surprises. If you can remember back when you were a child, I think all of us had that anxiety of Christmas, not knowing what we were going to wake up to. What kind of surprises are there for us? Christmas morning is a wonderful way that way, and even today. And I can remember still today the way that I felt as a child, even as old as I am, the amazement and the accomplishment of Christmas morning. Chuck Swindoll, one of the great Bible teachers of our day, says this: surprises come in many forms and guises, some good, some borderline, some amazing, some awful, some tragic, some hilarious, but there's only one thing that we can usually say: surprises aren't boring. Surprises are woven through the very fabric of our life, and they await each one of us in an unexpected and an unpredictable juncture. This morning, we will focus on one of the greatest surprises that ever was, the surprise that took place when an angel by the name of Gabriel appeared to a young teenager by the name of Mary. I don't know if Mary knew. Mary, did you know? Gabriel piled up one surprise after another, and he said, "Mary and Joseph, this Christmas tree that we have is going to be astonishing surprises for the most famous couple on earth that has ever experienced." But Gabriel's first surprise to Mary was this: "The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid." And you can be sure that Mary was gripped with fear. We call it the virgin birth. And I don't know what Mary called it: a mess, a dilemma, a thorny problem. It's a problem for some even today. There are some folks that are in the church and lead the church, bishops and pastors, that really don't believe in the virgin birth. I don't understand why, because our faith is the basis of the human virgin birth. But most of us have no problem admitting that God created all things in heaven and all things on earth. But when it comes to Mary's pregnancy, they say, that's impossible. Well, even modern technology today, virgins can conceive through what they call that thing, intro, virtual, whatever the thing. So nothing's impossible with God, but Mary was conceived by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I must admit that I don't understand it either. And most of us, adults included, do not well know what we're talking about sometimes when we talk about the virgin birth, because there's a lot of mystery there. And it means that Jesus came from God. He is God's son. Yes, he was born a woman, by a woman, and his father is God. But the emphasis is not primarily on Mary, but on the power of Almighty God. One theologian put it this way: Jesus is not the product of human evolution, the highest achievement of the human race. He is the product of the invention of the transcendent God into human history. Think of the fear that must have gripped Mary. Her first reaction was probably, "You don't know what you're talking about. I'm still a virgin." But Gabriel assured her that it was the work of the Holy Spirit, that God was with her, and her next thought must have been, "My father will kill me." Here, this young Jewish girl, pregnant and not married. Worse yet, she was pregnant and she was engaged to be married. So she thought, "My father's going to kill me. What am I going to tell her, angel?" But the angel reassured her in a very special way. He said, "Hey, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, is going to have a child as well. Someone else in her family was going to experience an unexpected work of heaven in the womb." I can picture the family getting together and saying, "Hey, what's this Mary telling us about this? Is it true? Are these things all afoot in our family? It's really too wonderful to ignore." But Mary's heart must have skipped a beat when her thoughts turned to Joseph. Fear has a way of gripping us, telling us what we are about to do is impossible. And Mary must have felt that way, even with all of Gabriel's encouraging and convincing words. Mary surely thought that her fiancé Joseph would not endure the public disgrace. But the angel appeared to him as well and told him, "Fear not. This is a great surprise. This is Christ coming into the world. Joseph, do not fear. Take Mary, your wife. You have found favor with God also. Zachariah and Elizabeth, do not fear. Your prayers have been heard. Do not fear. It's a great surprise of Christmas. God's great light coming into the world this season banishes all darkness and drives out all fear from our heart." So the first surprise of Christmas is fear not. The Lord is with you. Gabriel's second surprise to Mary was, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son." What could be more astonishing than God placing his most awesome work in the hands of a 16-year-old Jewish peasant, a girl named Mary? I'm afraid to have a 16-year-old sometimes when I had kids and we were looking for a babysitter. Would we really trust our kids with a 16-year-old girl to set and watch our children? Forget about trusting the destiny of the world into such hands. But once you get over Mary's troubling circumstances, the whole thing is really so casual and so domestic. What is more natural than the birth of a child is that babe in Bethlehem always appears to be less than he really is. He's a child born into poverty, a child born into obscurity out in the fields of the shepherds. And he was a simple boy of Nazareth, rambunctious, learning the trade of carpentry from his father, Joseph, his worldly father. And he's unnoticed for years. There's not much that we can find out about the early life of Jesus, although you will find some stories in the Apocrypha and some other writings that did not make it into the canon of Scripture. And it's fascinating to read those. And he's not a member of the religious class of the day, but a self-styled preacher like John the Baptist. He's a prisoner, refusing to answer accusations of a judge. He's a common criminal, like the two that was crucified him with him on the cross, one on the left, one on the right. And then he was buried, and except for a few fanatics, they said, he's dead, he's forgotten, he's gone, don't worry about it. He is so natural, just like anybody else, he can't be God. He's just like every other human on the earth. And then comes the surprise of Christmas. The child was God with us. And I love the way the Apostle John described it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John's saying that God pitched his tent among us in the flesh of Jesus Christ, or tabernacled with us. He is with us. The possibility that no one thought possible. The identity that no one identified. The divinity that no one divine was made possible on that first Christmas day. And then this is the second surprise. Jesus was not only human, he was divine. The third surprise was Gabriel's surprise to Mary. He said, Mary, he will be called the Son of God. Let me tell you what's so surprising about Christmas is simply this. When God chooses to do his greatest work of salvation, he did so not with a splash of earlier works like saving Noah from the world flood, having a baby, Moses, in a little basket, letting it float down to the Nile, delivering the Jews from the bondage in Egypt, splitting the sea with the Ten Commandments, and then bringing his people at last to the Promised Land. His greatest work was done in the frailty of a son. But we don't want to miss this. We don't want to miss Christmas. Jesus was a boy like every other boy who lived. He got sick. Like other children, he learned to be a carpenter alongside of his father, which was a tradition now has been lost, where young men kind of work as an apprentice along with their father in the vocation that they were with. He laughed like any other boy. He skinned his knees like any other boy. And he grew in wisdom and stature. He was 100% boy. But here's the surprise of Christmas. He was 100% God. He was 100% boy and 100% God in the flesh. That's the critical and crucial thing in the church throughout the world for the centuries to point out. He's not 50% God and 50% human. He is all boy, all God. And that's the mystery. He's Mary's son. But the angel assured Mary that he will be great and he will be called the Most High. And his name will be Jesus. Surprise, surprise, it's Christmas. Amen. It's a joy to celebrate Christmas, and for that fact that Jesus was God, and he come to live with us. He's here with us. And then he said, I got to go home to be with the Father, but I'm going to send one greater than I, and it's the Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit, in this place.